My name is Casey. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I am finding victory over love and relationship addiction and sexual integrity issues. I am the child of two alcoholics. I was raised by my single mom, who got sober when I was 5. My dad never got sober and took his own life while drunk when I was 15. Since I only saw him and my half-brothers about once a year, I have just 2 handfuls of memories of my dad, but they are sweet. My mom did the best she could being a single mom, but I was at home alone much of the time. The best thing she did was give her life to Jesus, and we attended church when I was in middle school and were baptized together. Both of us did walk away from the church after that, but my mom is now walking closely with the Lord, and today she and her husband are my biggest prayer warriors. In all the time I spent alone growing up, what filled my time the most was listening to music and daydreaming. In other words, escaping. I had a very vivid imagination and would create elaborate scenes in my mind. At a very young age, I would watch hours of soap operas at my grandma's house. I listened to country and rock music, and I knew songs by heart at age 5 that today I think are completely inappropriate. I also spent a lot of time looking at magazines and wishing I looked different. I scoured real estate ads and drew countless house floor plans and imagined living in the houses. I created fictitious diaries of a life that was not my own. During the period that my mom and I were regularly attending church, my best friend was the pastor's daughter. When I was in 8th grade and she was a freshman, she got an older boyfriend who had just graduated high school, and I would tag along with them regularly. Most times, since he lived near me, he would pick me up and drive me over to her house and then take me back home again when the night was done. During the drives, he would often hold my hand. I developed a crush on him and was very confused about the whole thing. I was convinced my friend and he would get married, but I so enjoyed holding his hand and imagined him kissing me. I had never yet kissed a boy, and I couldn't wait for it to happen. I carried guilt around with me, but I was also excited by the taboo. When I was 15, I spent the entire summer away from home. I got a fake ID, and I got drunk and high for the first time that summer. I also got that first kiss. It was from a 23-year-old who thought I was 22. Going back to school after that summer, I felt like a completely different person. I was no longer friends with the pastor's daughter. Over my summer of going wild, she had decided to clean up and follow Jesus again. I did stay in touch with her ex, that older guy, though. During high school, my mom conveniently would spend every weekend at her boyfriend's house, and many of the guys from school knew that there were no adults at my house, so that was largely taken advantage of. The guys I ran around with could be described as ruffians, and they did many things that I felt uncomfortable with, but I never said anything. I just liked belonging, and I wasn't going to rock the boat. I would drink large amounts of alcohol to keep up with these guys, and on a few occasions, blacked out. When I was 16, I lost my virginity while drunk to a guy I never saw again. Shortly after this, I got back in touch with that older guy and we got together. I was pretty much with him the rest of high school. My senior year, he got in a serious accident that put him in the hospital. He asked for me in the hospital, and that solidified our relationship. As soon as I graduated high school, my mom left the country with her new husband, so I moved in with my boyfriend, and we were married less than a year after that. We got married in Vegas a few weeks before my 19th birthday and went on a cruise for our honeymoon. On the cruise, there were so many good-looking guys, and there was a dance club on the cruise ship. I just wanted to party and have fun, and here I was stuck with this guy who wouldn't even dance. During that brief marriage, I would party regularly with other people while he stayed home. 10 months into the marriage, I moved in with a girlfriend and started the divorce process. At this time, I began a relationship with a married guy from work. My relationship with the married guy lasted longer than my marriage had. While I was with him, I ended up hooking up with one of his friends. Cheating on the person I was cheating with should have been a red flag that something was not right in my life. But it took an opportunity to work in Colorado for a summer to get me out of that mess. I managed to make a few more relationship messes in Colorado, but easily left it all behind when I returned to Oregon in the fall. So for a few more years, I lived with my girlfriend, partying and hooking up with random guys, always hoping to find that one who would make me feel special, but it didn't happen. It probably had a lot to do with the fact that most of them already had girlfriends or wives. I always wondered why it was only guys who were already taken that were interested in me. It wasn't until I got into recovery that it dawned on me that those were the ones I was attracted to, because they just wanted to have fun and they didn't even notice the walls I had built around me, let alone try to get past them. During this time, even though I was in no way following Jesus, I prayed daily in an OCD sort of way. God was like a good luck charm to me. If I prayed enough times, I would have a good day. But in December of 2002, I prayed earnestly for God to send me a good man. A week later, I ended up running into a guy I knew from high school. I hadn't seen him in years, and that night felt like love at first sight. We sat across from each other with our knees touching and big goofy grins on our faces, and we've been together ever since. The first several years were super tough. He was deep in an addiction that I was powerless to do anything about. We went to church and even went on mission trips, and none of it broke his addiction. I got baptized for the second time and kept trying to follow the Lord. I just kept praying for my husband, but it was hard. I got crushes on a few different guys at school, church, and work. I felt like it was because of my husband's addiction, and if he didn't have that problem, I would not be attracted to other guys. After 6 years of marriage, I was buckling under the weight of our facade and the reality behind it. I finally told my mom about my husband's addiction. She and her husband began praying, and less than a month later, my husband began coming clean with the men in his Bible study about his addiction. Around this time, we began attending Rolling Hills Community Church. A few months later, my husband came to celebrate recovery, and I followed soon after. I really wanted to come. I wanted all the help we could get. I began in the codependency group. At first, I couldn't share, but soon it began to feel more natural. After about 6 months of attending the codependency small group, I felt a tug to try the love and relationship, addiction, and sexual integrity group, but had no idea why. I prayed about it, and one night finally got the courage to try it. For the first several weeks, all I could do was cry. Turns out, I struggle with love and relationship, addiction, and sexual integrity. It may seem obvious now, but at the time, I was clueless. I mean, I had been in a monogamous relationship for over 7 years, and at that point, I was a stay-at-home mom who rarely said more than one sentence to another man in the course of a week. But just because I wasn't active in my behaviors didn't mean I was cured of them. Not long after realizing that this was the issue I identified with, I was hit full force with the reality of it when I got a man stuck in my head and could not stop fantasizing about him. I felt ashamed, ugly, hopeless, and helpless every day. I felt like my recovery was a sham. I felt trapped, like I could tell no one. I felt everything the devil wanted me to feel. Finally, I told my sponsor and started talking about it in my small group. It wouldn't go away. My husband and I were doing great. He was having victory over his addiction, and I'm still totally attracted to him, and most importantly, he still makes me laugh. So why was this happening? One morning, when I was wrestling with God over this and just feeling absolutely broken, I felt that God was telling me to tell my husband. My sponsor had already suggested it, and I thought she was crazy. I was so afraid to tell my husband. I had no idea what he would think or do. I felt that it would destroy him, and Principle 6 even says we should only make amends when it won't hurt the other person, right? But God told me that this other man was not taking the place of my husband. He was taking the place of Jesus in my heart. That morning, I told my husband what I had been struggling with, and it did not destroy him. He wasn't angry or hurt. He prayed for me. I would love to say that made my impure thoughts go away forever. It didn't, but I have learned the value of bringing everything out of the dark. Week after week in my small group, I confess my sins and struggles. I have no secrets. James 5:16 says, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." For the past 2.5 years since that confession to my husband, I have struggled off and on with my thought life. Sometimes I have long periods of victory only to be blindsided by intense visions or false feelings again. I now realize how the music I listened to growing up and the shows I watched shaped my young mind in a very harmful way. I realize how I have used fantasy as a sort of drug, and when I am stressed or in pain, I seek to escape into my imagination. I now recognize that I mistake intensity for intimacy and drama for love, but that I have been scared to death of the real things. Because God is good and He equips me with what I need to succeed, I am regularly adding new tools to my recovery belt. I have heard several good messages about the topic of impure thoughts. The first great sermon I heard about this was from Pastor Rick Warren at Saddleback Church the first time I attended Summit, which is the annual Celebrate Recovery Conference in Orange County, California. What I learned from Pastor Rick is that if I am attracted to men, it's because I'm alive. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." I also learned from Pastor Rick that I can change the channel in my mind and that I don't have to be a slave to my own thoughts. Most recently, I heard from another pastor that I can starve out the unwanted thoughts by feasting on God's truth through His word. Philippians 4:8 says, "Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." I'm learning to notice what my triggers are and to try healthier ways of dealing with stress and pain, such as praying to Jesus, reading my Bible, and contacting one of my CR sisters instead of drifting off in thought or getting on the computer. And I am now very careful with what I watch, read, and listen to. Romans 12:1-2 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." I would be remiss if I did not share my step study experience with you, because that is the meat of Celebrate Recovery. I am a firm believer that Wednesday night small group meetings plus step study together make this program work. When I first started coming to Celebrate Recovery, I started a step study as soon as I could. It was really hard. I often had a bad attitude about it. It was exhausting listening to all those women share about their lives week after week. But I was diligent with my homework and faithful to attend. God showed me a lot. I came out of denial and started acknowledging my part in things rather than viewing myself as a victim. Going through a step study, I couldn't help but feel a bond with those going through it with me. God is in those rooms listening to all we say and quietly tying our hearts together. Today, I'm in my third step study, and my sisters from each of my step studies are so very special to me. God has given me some deep, meaningful friendships through Celebrate Recovery like I've never had before. This is so important for me because I tend to feel alone at times and start believing that nobody in my life really truly cares about me, that we're all just here doing our own thing but not really engaging in each other's lives. But something happened recently that God used to show me that's just not true. One of my sisters went through something very difficult that was painful even for those of us close to her. My initial reaction was to want to run away and isolate. I even told myself, "I'm never going back to CR," because it's just too hard to deal with other people's hurts, let alone my own. However, through my sister's struggle and witnessing the way her sisters and brothers from CR came around her and truly supported her, I realized just how important Celebrate Recovery is to me. I'm going to encounter pain in my life no matter what, so I may as well face it here with people that care and can support me. Times like these are what CR is all about. I've seen God's hand work so powerfully in this ministry. Hebrews 10, 23 and 20 through 25 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." I also would like to acknowledge that in addition to the wonderful relationships I have formed with my CR sisters, I have some brothers here who God has used to show me what healthy relationships can look like and what it feels like to be valued because I am a daughter of God and not just because of sex. Thank you to my courageous brothers who are making choices to follow Jesus and to treat the women around you with love and respect. I've been coming to Celebrate Recovery for 4 years, and I cannot imagine my life without it. God has used this ministry to shape my life in such a positive way, breaking generational cycles in my family and improving all of my relationships, most importantly, my marriage. My husband and I have learned skills here that we will keep our whole lives and teach to our children. If you are new, I encourage you to keep coming back, even when it's hard. Especially then, it's so worth the hard work, and God is going to do most of it for you if you just let him. Thank you for listening.